This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing and the Wisconsin Writers Association, and always streaming at rightscast.net. RightsCast listeners, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Audible. Look, we're all going to be spending a lot of time cooped up at home for the next few weeks, for the next few months. Who knows? The point is this, you're going to need to find some way to pass the time and to keep things fresh, and what better time to start getting familiar with audiobooks than now. That's why I'm encouraging you to head to audibletrial.com/rightscast, where you can start a free 30-day trial of Audible and get a free audiobook, maybe even Clarabella Ortega's Ghost Squad. Yeah, check that one out. Now's the time to listen to Ghost Squad while you're painting the walls in your home, while you're catching up on all that housework you don't normally have a time to do because you're not there, while you're playing, I don't know, on your 3DS or whatever your preferred gaming system might be. You can do all of this while also being immersed in Clarabella Ortega's Ghost Squad if you visit audibletrial.com/rightscast and get yourself in on that 30-day free trial and a free audiobook today. You can cancel anytime, and you can still keep Ghost Squad. Pretty good deal. I think so anyway. The point is this. audibletrial.com/rightscast, WRITESCAST, audibletrial.com/rightscast. There's no shying away from it. This is a tough time to launch a book, let alone a debut, but this episode's guest, a champion of all things Twitter, meme, and GIF, is finding ways to ensure her launch goes off without a hitch. And there's so much we can learn from her experience, both in this realm and beyond. Hey there, I'm author, writing coach, and RightsCast Network founder, R.R. Campbell. And welcome to episode 79 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing and the Wisconsin Writers Association. This episode's guest is Clarabella Ortega. Clarabella went from journalism student, editing her classmates' oftentimes hilarious ads and ramblings, to a small-town reporter, where she enjoyed going to Board of Ed meetings and texting the town mayor about the line at Starbucks. Today, she's busy turning her obsession with 80s pop culture, magic, and video games into books. She's the host of the Write or Die podcast and the owner of the small graphic design business GIF Girl and the GIF Girl Shop, which creates apparel for writers and creatives. She lives in New York with her motorcycle-riding poet boyfriend and her suspiciously intelligent Yorkie, Pancho Villa. Aside from all of that, Clarabella is the author of Ghost Squad, which is set to be released on April 7th, 2020 by Scholastic. I was thrilled Clarabella could join me for this conversation, during which we touch on Ghost Squad, middle grade fiction, grief, and yes, Chunk the Cat. There's plenty of Chunk the Cat. So without further ado, let's get into my full interview of Clarabella Ortega, author of Ghost Squad. Stay tuned after the episode for updates on what you can expect next from the RightsCast Network, and thanks, as always, for listening. Well, thank you so much, Clarabella Ortega, for joining me for this episode of the R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this is a really an interesting time to have a book coming out here, and I want to check in with you, person to person, author to author. How are you holding up with a book launch imminent in these times of self-isolation and social distancing?
It's been interesting, to say the least. I've been surprisingly very busy because a lot of people have been going out of their way to try and help authors who have been affected by the coronavirus in terms of their events being canceled. And especially, you know, when you're a debut author, this would have been like my first book launch, my first everything. And it's crucial because nobody, you know, knows who I am yet in the reading world. So I've had a lot of support and people reaching out and people offering to interview me, which is great. So I've been really busy. It's been strange because I thought I would just sort of like be home and be sort of busy, but like busy, like less busy than usual, but I was really wrong.
It's amazing how the landscape shifts, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, in the beginning, like before things started to get canceled, it was like a more anxious time for me. I was having a hard time with everything because it's almost like all of these things are like looming over your head and you're just waiting for emails of bad news. But now that all of that is sort of out of the way and I've sort of accepted that I'm going to be at home and doing everything virtually, I've just like accepted it and I'm trying to make the best of it and have fun with it as much as I can.
Well, and that's one of the really nice things about this digital age is that there are opportunities to continue to move forward with the book launch and to still be excited and to get readers interested in your work. And I know that you're still holding a digital launch party. Is that right? And then where will you be facilitating that and how can people tune in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be live streaming a digital launch party, a virtual launch party, along with Ryan LaSala, who's the author of Reverie, and Zoraida Cordova, who is the author of the Brooklyn Brujas series, among many other books. It'll be on my YouTube, which is just /C/ Clarabel Ortega author. And that's all on all my social medias. And we'll just be live streaming an event just like it would be if you went to a bookstore, but on YouTube. And I'm going to have a menu of food that you can make at home to eat along as you watch the event. We're going to raffle off a plush of Chunk, which is the fat cat from my book. There's going to be, a lot of fun and just hopefully it'll be like feel like being at a party when everyone's just sort of like in their living room.
Yeah, and it's really great that you're finding ways to bring that interactivity to people at home, because I know that that's something at book launches that people like to do. I did it at my own first book launch for Accounting for It All. It was like, come to this bar and we'll try and get some drinks together that resemble things the characters in the book might have drank. Well, this won't be happening at a bar, but people at home can make food based on stuff from the book. So that's a really cool way to try and keep up that interactivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be fun. And I'll obviously, what everyone has at home differs, especially right now. But there's a lot of like simpler food that hopefully people can make. And it'll be a lot of options. And it should be a fun time. I'm excited about it.
And just to make sure that we mention it, I'm not sure if we did, that digital release party will be on the book's release date of April 7th, correct?
Yes, it will be on April 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And if you want to get the link for anything, it'll be for the YouTube. It's on all of my social media. It'll be on my website. You just have to go to clarabelortega.com and I'll have all of the info up about that.
So as you have been adapting and getting ready to do this now more digital launch, it seems like you're learning a lot in this process, right? We always learn a lot when we're launching our first book, but is there anything else that you'd like to share maybe with authors who have books coming out in the next month or two after yours who maybe need to start doing this kind of planning? What can you kind of pass along to them in terms of advice?
So I would definitely say to try to think outside the box of what you normally would and don't downplay something because it's not the traditional way that it's normally done in terms of launches. Like I've seen people sort of like not make as big of a deal about announcing their launch because it's going to be digital. But I would say don't do that. I would say make as big of a deal as you would. Make a graphic. Have someone make a graphic for you. If your publisher is not making it, try to find guests to do it with. Try to find ways for the audience to interact with you because people really love that. People really love a chance to be able to interact and ask questions and maybe win something. One thing, really cool thing that my publisher did for me was that they secured Books of Wonder as like the official bookseller for my launch. So even though I was supposed to have my launch at Books of Wonder. So even though it won't be in a bookstore, Books of Wonder is still the official bookstore where people can pick up Ghost Squad. And they partnered with us so that they amplified the launch and shared it on all of their social media, which is a really great way not only to support indie bookstores, which we really should be doing right now, but also to get the word out and to a wider audience.
Yeah, there's really something to be said for how much it seems artists everywhere between indie bookstores and those of us who are out there just creating are in this stage of trying to cultivate community and keep everyone's hopes up, keep the energy up. And there really is, like you say, something so critical about remaining excited about mm-hmm. our work and about our creativity and about what it is that we have to look forward to during these times. So I'm really glad that you have made sure listeners can walk away with that, whether they are someone who is just writing from the comfort of their own home or they do have a book, in fact, coming out in the next couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. And people really do feed off of your energy and they reflect the energy that you put out about certain things. So if they see you not excited about it, which I understand if someone is having a hard time being excited. I get it. You know, I also don't want people to force themselves to feel something that they don't. Sometimes people just need to heal, and that is okay too. And I get that. But if you can, and if you have it in you to find excitement for it, I feel like for me, it helped me to feel better. Finding that excitement, that little sort of spark of maybe this could be fun, helped me to heal from the disappointment of having to cancel all of these first time huge events for me. So yeah, I think that people definitely will see your reaction to it and they'll respond to it accordingly. And that's just how the internet works, you know, that's just how social media works. So if you can find a way or even like have a friend do it for you, like if you know you'll be okay for the day of the actual launch, but you can't muster like the excited tweet right now, have a friend draft it for you and send it out for you, you know?
Yeah, there are certainly ways to continue to stay in touch. Again, thank you to this digital age. And of course, keeping excitement in the spotlight here, let's talk about the book we are going to be excited about. And that is, of course, Ghost Squad. So, Clarabelle, why don't you let listeners know, what is Ghost Squad all about?
So Ghost Squad is the story of 12-year-old Lucely Luna, who lives in St. Augustine with her father, Simon, who runs a ghost tour called the Luna Ghost Tour. And they are, you know, not doing too well financially. And on top of that, Lucely sort of lives in a haunted house because the ancestors of her relatives live in this giant tree in her backyard. And they live on as both ghosts and fireflies. So they sort of shift between the two. One day, the firefly ghost of her grandmother becomes unresponsive, and in an effort to help her, Lucely and her best friend Sid find this spell in a graveyard, which I don't recommend. And they, when they incite the spell, they wake up these evil spirits, and they have to then team up with Sid's witchy grandmother Babette and with Babette's fat cat Chunk to try to send the evil spirits back into the underworld before all of St. Augustine is dragged down there with them.
And the moral of the story there is just say no to spelled in graveyards.
Yes. Yes.
So what is it? I know that you're writing in the middle grade space, and I kind of want to explore for listeners who are tuning in, who are authors themselves or who are maybe new to writing or just unfamiliar with the term. Clarabelle, could you explain for them what middle grade fiction is? How do we categorize that?
So middle grade fiction is fiction that's for children from about 8 to 12 years old usually, and it's just dealing with themes of sort of belonging and finding your place in the world, and there's a lot of like family and friendship, and it's just geared towards children of that age. The humor is my kind of humor. There's a lot of fart jokes and fun stuff like that, and it's just really my favorite to write. I love middle grade so much.
What is it that drew you to writing in middle grade in the first place? What was your personal journey like for getting into that space?
I never thought that I would be good at writing middle grade. A friend suggested that that I should try it because of my voice when I write, and when I started to give it a shot, I realized like this is my comfort zone. Like middle grade, it comes very, very natural to me. I think just like my writing voice is well suited for it. And it just took like the suggestion of a friend basically to give it a shot, because I also write young adult, and I had been writing exclusively young adult books until they suggested I should try middle grade, and now I can't stop writing middle grade.
you have found your lane, so to speak.
Yes,
you found
yes.
your calling in that
way. Yes.
And I'm curious for other writers who may be trying to figure out, okay, am I more suited for young adult? Am I suited for writing adult? Am I suited for middle grade? In your experience writing middle grade, what can other writers who want to write in that category do to make sure they are meeting a middle grade audience where they're at? Is there anything you kept in mind while doing your writing?
So I think that the most important thing to do if you want to develop a strong voice or know what it is that a good middle grade voice or book sounds and looks like is to read a lot of middle grade. Read a lot of middle grade, recent middle grade as well, because as time goes on, you know, the voice for different kinds of books do change. So read a lot of recent middle grade, and just I would say that that's the best tool that I had for making sure that it sounded like an actual kid. Also, a very helpful thing is if you have children in your life who are around that age, let them read it and let them tear you to shreds, because they will. And they'll let you know if you're doing a good job of capturing what they really sound and feel like.
Here we are again, another episode brought to you by the wonderful folks of Dandelion Web Marketing. Dandelion Web Marketing is going to help you. Yes, you. A writer tuning into this program, they're going to help you build a thriving author platform through strategic web marketing. So if you're not sure if you're on the right track with your website, you can get one of their author website audits and find out. Listeners to this show right now can receive 50% off one of these amazing author website audits, which will look at your site's content, security, design, search engine optimization, and more. And it'll also provide you with some insight on what you might do to improve the connection you strive to make with your audience. So to learn more about the strengths and weaknesses of your current website and save 50% along the way, you can visit dandelionwebmarketing.com/rightscast to learn more. That's dandelionwebmarketing.com/rightscast. When it comes to recommending that writers read middle grade, let's say maybe they don't have kids that age in their life that they can reach out to, are there any authors that you found particularly instructive when going through your own reading of the category before writing Ghost Squad or while you wrote Ghost Squad?
So I have a few recommendations for that. One of them would be Jessica Townsend's Nevermore series. I'm not sure if that's the name of the series. That's definitely the name of the first book. It's called actually The Trials of Morgan Crow, I believe. But that series is fantastic. The voice is really good. It is reminiscent of a Harry Potter, but I would say that it's a lot more modernized. And the voice there is fantastic. I would always say Karen Strong with Just South of Home and Daniel Jose Older with the Dr. Hill Squad.
Very good. So those are some good places that listeners can get started or can expand their taste into the world of middle grade fiction, I should say. So let's focus again now on Ghost Squad specifically and explore what it is that led you to want to write this book. What was the inspiration for Ghost Squad for you?
So Ghost Squad was mainly inspired by this game that I used to play with my brother and the folklore that was attached to it that I didn't realize was attached to it. So when my brother passed away a few years ago from cancer, and his passing actually really inspired my entire writing career. And one of the things that we love to do as children is to catch fireflies in mason jars and then let them go, obviously. But we love to do that. And it wasn't until that I was a little bit older that I learned that we have a folklore in Dominican Republic that says that fireflies are actually the spirits of our lost loved ones who are watching over us. And I just thought that was a really beautiful sort of message from, you know, my brother. And I thought it would be great to put that in a book and to put that in a book in order to open up the conversation about grief in a way that wasn't so pointed. So a child reads the book and you know, the first thing that they're probably going to do is identify the fact that if they had firefly spirits, who would they be, right? And that can be a sad thought to think about, but I feel like the conversations around death and loss are really important to have early on. It's a natural part of our lives, right? So really, I would say it's twofold. It was inspired both by my brother Pablo and also by my Dominican folklore. And yeah, that's really what drove me to write the story.
That really is inspiring for a few reasons. Of course, because to some extent, it comes from that well of writing what you know, which I know is some of that common writing advice that gets bandied about and people interpret it one way, some people interpret it another, but it's really wonderful that everything was able to come full circle for you and you were able to embrace this folklore while also embracing this spirit of something that was so personal to both you and to your brother Pablo when you were younger. And as someone here who is now writing a manuscript that is very personal, and it's one that I have been putting off dipping my toes into the water for years since my father's passing, I am finding it to be very cathartic to get that particular story mm-hmm. down. And Clarabelle, for you, when you first sat down to write Ghost Squad or what Ghost Squad would become, what was your headspace kind of like? Did you find that it also provided a similar catharsis, or was what was that like for you?
Absolutely. There were times where it was really helpful and it was comforting. And the reason why it's comforting is because the whole idea behind Ghost Squad is that the people who leave us never really leave, right? It's in a more sort of tangible way with Lucelli and her firefly spirits. But the message and the story is that they're still around us. They're still in the things that we experience with them. They're still in our hearts. And writing about that and trying to convey that comforted me because I am also dealing with grief and loss. And there were also times when it was hard to write, when it was difficult because you're writing about this deeply personal thing, but I got a lot of feelings and emotions out as I was writing it, for sure. And it definitely was cathartic.
Is that something that maybe you would encourage other writers to consider doing, is perhaps once in a while, and of course, when they're ready, really exploring some of these more challenging things that they might have going on in their life? And if so, is there something that you did in your approach to the page that they might be able to learn from?
So I think that that's a, you know, obviously a deeply personal decision to make, because it can be hard. And the one thing that you have to remember is when you write a book about something so personal, if it ends up being published, you have to continue talking about those things. So you have to make sure that you're okay with that. And that can be difficult. And it, especially if it's a fresher loss, if it's something that just happened recently. So I would say definitely it can be helpful even if it's something that you write only for yourself. And if you feel the calling or the urge to write about it because you feel like it would help others, then and you feel okay doing it, then I would definitely encourage it. It can definitely be really nice. I've been at events where I've talked about the inspiration behind Ghost Squad, and I've had people come up to me afterwards thanking me for talking about it because they experienced loss as well. And it was nice to hear someone talk about it so openly. And that can be really, it can be a healing moment for you, because it can make you realize that even though this terrible thing happened, good things can still come of it. And that's really been my experience with Ghost Squad, for sure. And in terms of my approach, I would say I didn't have a specific one in terms of, you know, the subject matter, but I made sure that I let myself take breaks when I needed to because of how hard it was at times.
Right. And I think that one of the great takeaways there, and something that's resonating with me in particular, is this idea that when you do start opening up, and of course, being prepared to have to or to be opening up more if your book does get published and you are in the position that you are in, is that once you do open up at some of these public events and people do seem to come forward in the same way that I know back in episode 66 of this show, listeners might remember that Greg Rentz came forward to talk about his experience as a fire captain in Milwaukee and what it was like to write about that, given the inherent danger that plagues that entire occupation on a day-to-day basis. And that got me opening up more and more about some of my own experiences. And I have found, as I know Greg has found, and it seems you too, Clarabelle, have found, is that people will come forward and they will be thankful. And there will be this really great moment where we can remind ourselves that we are not alone in our grief, and we never really do lose our loved ones. Just like in Ghost Squad, sure, they're around in terms of fireflies, but there are so many ways that we can capture having this feeling of fireflies around us. And perhaps some of these smaller interpersonal moments are a great way to capture that on the back end of having written something like you've written.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that any chance that we can get it to connect to one another as human beings and to teach each other that you can get through something, we should take it if you can and if you're okay doing it. Like, I always try to emphasize that because it can be really difficult to write about these things and to express these things in a way that you feel comfortable with. And not everyone is okay sort of exposing that really super vulnerable part of themselves. But for me, I find that the more vulnerable I am in my writing, the better it tends to be.
And I'm increasingly finding that more and more for myself. So you have two voices here, listeners, who are doubling down on that point. It's okay. You know, just do that writing when you're comfortable with it. And like Clarabelle says, take those breaks when you need them. So let's pivot a little bit more to focus on connection, right? Because as we talked about at the top of this episode, you're moving, of course, to a digital book launch. But the wonderful thing about a book launch is that there's never just one event. You've been promoting this book for a while now. And I know that not that long ago, you had an opportunity to do a school visit and talk to high schoolers about Ghost Squad. What was it like to be in that kind of environment and to connect with those students?
It was really great. It was super fun. So I had a whole presentation for them, and it was full of memes, of course, because that's just what I do. Every time I do something, I try to make sure it's fun for me as well. And it was amazing. I mean, I wasn't sure how they would react because obviously Ghost Squad is for younger kids. But I was mostly talking about my journey as an author. So I was talking to it was an event put on by the National Honor Society of the high school that I went to. So it was all kids who are interested in writing and interested in the English language. And they had so many questions, so many more than I thought they would. Like, we didn't have time to answer all of them. And it was a really nice experience. It was really great. It was my first like official Ghost Squad school visit. So it was a fantastic time. And it was really nice to just be able to see their reactions of telling them how long publishing takes and seeing them react to the timeline, right. And all the setbacks that could happen. And that did happen to me. And it was fantastic. And we just talked about writing and video games and all sorts of stuff. It was really great.
Were there any questions from those that you were able to take in the time that you had available that really stood out to you? And if so, how did you respond?
I don't know if there were any questions that really stood out. To be quite honest, I have a really bad memory, so I don't remember most of the questions now. I do know that a girl came up to me after, and she was very clearly struggling with some sort of loss in her life as well. And she was trying to hold back tears, and she just thanked me for talking about everything and just like said, sorry for your loss. And it was just really sweet to see that and to see that I had touched her in some way. It was nice for her to, you know, thank me for talking about it because it's sometimes not easy. So that really stayed with me for sure. And then there was another teen who they asked me what my favorite video games were, and one of them is Kingdom Hearts. And she nearly screamed, and I didn't realize it, but she had a Kingdom Hearts t-shirt on. So, oh, wow. That's great. So she was like, when she came up to me, she was like losing it. She was so excited. So that was great.
This episode of the R.R. Campbell Writes Cast is also brought to you by the Wisconsin Writers Association and their Jade Ring Contest. The Jade Ring Contest is in its 72nd year, and they are looking for your submissions. They want your poetry. They want your nonfiction. They want your fiction. And by submitting your work, you'll have the chance to see it published in Wisconsin People and Ideas magazine, as well as Creative Wisconsin Literary Journal. There are also cash prizes in play, as well as the coveted jade ring itself. So if you are sitting on a piece of fiction shorter than 2,000 words in length, if you are sitting on a piece of nonfiction shorter than 2,000 words in length, or if you're sitting on a small trove of poems, now is the time to submit them at wiwrite.org/contests for consideration in this year's Jade Ring. Again, the place to visit on the web to learn more about eligibility and the full details of the annual contest is wiwrite.org/contests. And that's all really the fun side of it too there, right? Of course, we've talked a fair amount in this conversation about some of the broader thematic elements of Ghost Squad and what it is that we want our readers to walk away from in terms of lessons about grief, etc. But there's this really fun element to getting out and speaking with readers. And there's a really fun element, of course, I'm sure there are many to your book, but I'm thinking specifically, of course, about Chunk the Cat. To become a bit of a phenomenon online. So, Clarabelle, what role does Chunk play in the story for those who may not be familiar?
So, Chunk the Cat. So, Chunk belongs to Babette, who is Sid's grandmother, and Babette is a witch. And I said, well, she's a witch. I have to give her cats, right? And I gave her 8 cats, and each of the cats is named after one of the Goonies. But the main cat, who is sort of Babette's familiar in a way and sticks around a lot and sort of keeps an eye out for her on behalf of Babette, is Chunk. And Chunk is a really fat tabby, and she loves string cheese. And she's along for a lot of the adventure with the girls, sometimes not because they want her to come along. She's an interesting character. There's definitely more to her than what we see sort of on the cover or in the descriptions that have come out thus far. So you'll have to read the book to learn more about that.
And I believe, in fact, that we had a voicemail come in here from someone who I presume has read the book. So Clarabelle, I'm going to play the voicemail for you, and we will see what it is you have to say by way of reply. This is from Brian in New York.
Sure.
Hello, my name is Brian, and I'm from New York. This question is for Clarabelle Ortega about her upcoming release, Ghost Squad. I was really fascinated by the inclusion of Chunk the Cat. I think she's fabulous. And I was wondering about your creative choice to not give her the lead role, since she is clearly the most beautiful and talented character in the book. Please let me know. Thank you.
So here we have it, of course, a call dedicated to Chunk. So thank you for that call at 608-284-8342. If you are someone who has a question for a future guest, you can call in at that number. But Clarabelle, let's get to the matter at hand. What do you have to say to this caller? What's the deal?
So I didn't quite hear the last part of his question.
Yeah, he was focusing on why is it that Chunk isn't the lead character? Chunk is clearly the most talented and beautiful of all characters.
Well, Chunk, it would be difficult for the book to be interesting if we just followed Chunk around and her just saying meow for like 265 pages, which is mostly what she says. She did get her own cover, though, for the Scholastic Book Fair version of the book. So there's that.
We're all about paying our dues to Chunk. We need to make sure that Chunk is respected as much as possible. And I don't know, we'll save the Chunk being the lead character for the annals of fan fiction, perhaps. So that's something that our caller can perhaps consider taking up. But we did have one other caller here for you, Clarabelle. They do have part of their question, yes, is about Chunk, but they do have a question a little bit about process as well. So I will go ahead and play this voicemail for us now.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Kat from New York, and this question is for Clarabelle Ortega, author of Ghost Squad. And I want to ask her that when she's writing paranormal fiction or contemporary fantasy, what does she think about first, the contemporary world or the magical aspects of the world? And then I also want to know how she comes up with such funny and interesting side characters like Chunk the Cat or like the cool grandma in Ghost Squad. They're really, really funny, so I just really want to know how she comes up with those characters. Okay, thank you.
All right, so there we have it again. Another question about Chunk, a question about the grandma at 608-284-8342. So we've spoken a little bit about Chunk, so let's maybe start with the first half of the question. When you're writing or when you're approaching your work, do you find yourself thinking about the contemporary elements or the magic first, and how does that play into your process overall?
I definitely think about the magic part of it first, although you know, the contemporary elements are folded in within that. So it comes very quickly after how the, you know, the normal world reacts to it or what they know and don't know. But I mostly focus on the magic first because that's the part of the book that's going to be taking up the most space and time. And in terms of how I come up with side characters, I honestly don't know. They just sort of come to me.
The background of Kingdom Hearts and GIFs, memes, right? It's all out there for us. And the Goonies, too, like you say.
Yeah.
The Goonies.
I really do love sort of like ensemble casts when it comes to movies and like and video games and all those things. I grew up with that kind of media. So I think it's just like part of like deep down in like my like little Clarabelle's brain, like a thing that I always really liked. And it's just sort of been like fermenting all these years.
It's funny how it just percolates to the top in those strange moments of inspiration that we didn't expect. And suddenly we have Chunk the cat. Suddenly we have this incredible, interesting grandmother character as well. So very cool. Thank you, Kat, for that call. Again, listeners, in the future, if you have questions for other guests, you can get a hold of us at 608-284-8342. So Clarabelle, as we wrap up our conversation here, I think it is important that we remind listeners, where is it that they can find you online and how can they order your book?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Clarabelle_Ortega. And you can buy my book Ghost Squad at buyghostsquad.com. I made it very easy for you. There is our links to all of the different stores and websites where Ghost Squad is available. If you want a signed copy, I am I'm partnered up with two indie stores, Word Up Books and Split Rock Books, to do that. And that's on buyghostsquad.com as well.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Clarabelle Ortega. The book, listeners, is Ghost Squad. Clarabelle, thank you again for joining me for this episode.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
That's all for my conversation with Clarabelle Ortega, author of Ghost Squad. Thanks to Clarabelle for coming on the show, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you could leave the Writescast Network a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. This will help the Writescast Network reach more writers like you, and building that sense of community is what we, and I hope you, are all about. To those of you who have already left us a rating and review, thank you. I'd also like to thank the Writescast Network's patrons, who contribute to our programming financially at patreon.com/writescast. In exchange for their support, Writescast Network patrons get access to some great patron perks, including Writescast swag, discounts on my editing services, and entries in monthly drawings for partial manuscript critiques performed by yours truly. And have I mentioned we now have new patron tiers and perks available? We do, so if ever there was a time to consider showing your support for our community, this is it, and you can check it out at patreon.com/writescast. When you visit our Patreon community, you'll be joining patrons like Laura Hazen and Angeline Boley in supporting our programming directly at $1, $2, or $3 per episode or per month. Any level of contribution will get you access to those fantastic patron perks I mentioned earlier, so go ahead and visit patreon.com/writescast. That's patreon.com/writescast. Thanks as well to our on-air sponsors, Dandelion Web Marketing and the Wisconsin Writers Association. To learn more about them or our other sponsors, you can visit writescast.net/sponsors. Coming up next on the Writescast Network is an episode of Novel Approaches, featuring yours truly and guest co-host Avery Ames. In that episode, we'll be tackling the ins and outs of writing retellings, so be sure to tune in on April 10th when that episode debuts on Apple Podcasts, writescast.net, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Until then, you can stay in touch with us by visiting writescast.net or by saying hello on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at writescast or by searching for the Writescast Network. We're also available by email at rightscast@gmail.com, and you can now call us at area code 608-284-8342, where you can leave a voicemail with questions for future guests or other matters you'd like us to address in our programming. Again, that number is 608-284-8342. To reach me personally, you can visit rrcampbellwrites.com or holler at me on Twitter, where I can be found as @IamRRCampbell. I love hearing from listeners of all backgrounds, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well. This is the RightsCast Network, brought to you by Dandelion Web Marketing and the Wisconsin Writers Association, and always streaming at rightscast.net.